We're going to do teaching on salvation. And salvation is so crucial to life. And so a word we're going to, the foundation is the Hebrew text. So Hebrew is always the foundation. So on the word Savior and salvation is Yasha. Y-A-S-H-A. So Yasha. I'm going to read a little definition here, which is pretty good. And its derivatives are used 353 times. The root meaning in Arabic is make wide or make sufficient. This root is in contrast to sa'ar, narrow, which means to be restricted or cause distress. That which is wide denotes freedom from distress and the ability to pursue one's own objectives. To move from distress to safety requires deliverance. Generally, the deliverance must come from somewhere outside the party oppressed. In the Old Testament, the kinds of distress, both natural and individual, including enemies, natural catastrophes such as plagues or famine and sickness. The one who brings deliverance is known as the Savior, or the Yasha. The word may be used, however, in everyday life free of theological overtones. At a well, Moses saved, or Yasha, the daughters of Reuel from being driven off by the shepherds. But generally, in the Old Testament, the word has strong religious meaning, for it was Yahweh who wrought the deliverance. Thus, he is known as the El of our salvation. Another interesting word, the salvation, is the word Yahshua. And so when people say Yahshua, that's the Hebrew word for salvation. And we used to do the same thing until you realize that's not the Savior's name. The Savior's name is Yahushua, four syllables. Yahshua is three syllables, and it's the Hebrew word for salvation. All right? And which we'll kind of go over that. But a good illustration is Psalm 68:19. People want to go there? So with all of us, when something is incorrect, instead of carrying on, you go ahead and keep looking. 68.
562.
Verse 19. We don't keep carrying on the incorrectness. We just correct it so another generation doesn't make the same mistake. So his name is Yahushua, not Yahshua. But when we say Yahshua, that just means salvation. But Yahushua means Yah is salvation. So this is great. It says, blessed be Adonai. Day by day, he beareth our burden for us. El himself is our Yahshua. The El we have is an El of saving deeds, and due to Yahweh, Adonai, our escape from death. Yea, Elohim himself will smite through the head of his foes the hairy crown of him that is marching on in his guilty deeds. So we're going to look at the Savior is Yahweh. Although salvation could come through a human agent, it was only because Yahweh empowered the agent. And we're going to see that with Yahushua also. So really, the crux of the teaching is also is how to receive salvation in this age and in all the other ages also. You can get information on our website, on a paper called Life is Age Abiding. Answering the questions on salvation. Actually, it'd be answering the questions on
Yahshua.
Yahshua. Volume 1, page 435. I'll give more in-depth information. So now we're going to go to Isaiah 49, and we're going to see Yahweh is the Savior. Yahweh 49, verse 24. And always look at the context, and you're going to see what he is saving them from. But Izzy, you want to read 24 to 26.
And that's chapter 49.
Yeah, so, yeah, chapter 49, verse 24 to 26.
Shall prey be taken from a mighty one, or the captive of one in the right be delivered? Surely thus saith Yahweh, even the captives of the mighty one shall be taken away, and the prey of the tyrant be delivered, and thine oppressors I will oppose, and thy children I will save. Then will I feed thy tormentors with their own flesh, and as with new wine with their own blood shall be drunk. So shall all flesh know that I, Yahweh, am thy Savior, or Yahshua, and thy Redeemer is the Mighty One of Jacob.
Now that save is not salvation. Yahshua is salvation.
So that's
Savior, Yahshua.
Yahshua.
So it'd be Yahweh, I, Yahweh, in thy Yahshua, and thy Redeemer is the Mighty One of Jacob. The foundation is people think of Christ as our Savior, and He is, but He was sent to save us. Mm. All right, but Christ could do nothing without Yahweh, so obviously He is the Savior that saved us through Yahushua. Yahweh is the Redeemer, all right, who redeemed us through Yahushua. Redemption is very important. I was just talking about this with Aaron. You know, when you see he's our Savior and our Redeemer, the word Redeemer is based on, you know, kinship redemption. All right. Why do we need to be redeemed? All right? Because of Adam and Eve. What did they end up doing? They sold all of their ancestors into slavery. By disobeying what Yahweh said. And so that's what a kinsman redeemer does. He goes to his kin and purchases them out of the dilemma that they've got themselves into. So Yahweh is our redeemer. And why we have to be redeemed is because we were sold by our parents. No different than Joseph was sold by his brothers and sisters, or his brothers. He was sold. And so he was legally bound, and so were we legally bound. And so Yahweh is also our Redeemer. Isaiah 60, chapter 60. Watch off. One person said, you know, when a pastor takes his watch off and puts it on the podium, you know what that means?
It's not long teaching.
Absolutely nothing.
No. 7:04.
Okay, good. Chapter, 60, verse 14 to 16. So everybody see Yahweh again as Savior and Redeemer. And look at the context of what He's delivering them and saving them from. Then shall come unto thee, bending low, the sons of them who had humbled thee. Then shall bend them. Now this chapter 60 is talking about the new earth. Our context. Then shall bow down unto the soles of thy feet, and they who have despised thee. And they shall call thee the city of Yahweh, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Instead of thy being forsaken and hated, so that none need to pass through thee, I will make it thee an excellency, age abiding, the joy of generation after generation. And thou shalt derive sweet nourishment from the nations. Yea, on the bounty of kings shall thou be sustained. So shall thou know that I, Yahweh, am thy Yahshua, Savior, and that thy Redeemer is a Mighty One of Jacob. And so our foundation is Yahweh is our Yahshua, our Savior. And then we go to Isaiah 45:22, and I'll have Elijah read this.
Isaiah chapter 45, page 691, verse 22. Turn into me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am
El,
and there is none else.
So there it is. El is saying, turn unto me all the earth, and you shall be Yahshua. And what are we saved from? And we find out what are we saved from? You know, in the whole picture of things, we're saved from perishing. And so we're going to see, you know, John 3:16, for Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, apolumai, but shall have life, age abiding. So salvation all at the end always comes into life, age abiding, instead of the alternative, perishing. Right? And actually a good illustration is that when people were on the boat, when they were sinking, they said, Yahushua, save us. Right? Save you from what? From dying. Right? From dying in the sea. So salvation is all the way through it, and many times it's from enemies, it's from the Philistines, it's from the Midianites, and so on and so forth. But it's also on the big order of things of life, age, abiding. Let's see here. And so, Yasha, which is Strong's number 3467, when it means salvation and savior or saved, it's in the hippel stem. So whenever you look at a Hebrew verb, all right, you have to know what stem it's in. And there's seven stems. All right, so this is in the hippel because each stem can have a different meaning. So it's very important to know. It's not like English verbs. We have no idea. It just means what it says. No, you have to know what stem it's in. All right. Let's see. Oh, and the first usage of Yasha is... of Yahushua, which is salvation. That's a strong number, 3444, is Genesis 49:18. But let's look at the second usage, which is Exodus 14:13. So when people say Yahshua, we need to educate them. I used to say Yahshua until I was more informed. So there's nothing wrong with being wrong. It's just once you're informed, correct it. So the generation after us doesn't have to keep going on with the traditions of men. Exodus 14:13, page 98. And Moses said unto the people, do not fear, stand still, and see the Yahshua of Yahweh, which he will work for you today. For as for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall not again see them any more to times, age, abiding. Isn't that cool? Let's see, we got that. Now let's just see Yahweh setting up saviors. He is also the ultimate savior, but we're going to look at the saviors. And that's Judges 3:7. Page 263. Are you there? 263. I'm going to skip some of these names, which are difficult. 263. Judges 3:7 through 9. Thus did the sons of Israel the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh, and forgot Yahweh their Elohim, and served the Baals and the Ashtaroths. This is also why we need a Savior. The choices we make. Then kindled the anger of Yahweh upon Israel, and he sold them into the hands of Cushan, king of Mesopotamia, and the sons of Israel served Cushan 8 years. And the sons of Israel made outcry unto Yahweh, so Yahweh raised up Yasha, Savior, unto the sons of Israel to Yashavim, even Orthanel, son of Kenaz. We're going to see another Savior, and so these are Saviors. Many times people will say that Yahweh is called a Savior, and then people will see Christ is called a Savior. They go, aha, Yahweh is Christ. No, I mean, here's a Savior right here. Same situation. Yahweh sent the Savior. Here's another one. His name is Ehud. And that's in verse 12. And the sons of Israel again did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh. And Yahweh emboldened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel because they did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh. And he gathered unto him the sons of Ammon and Amalek, and came and smote Israel, and took possession of the city of palm trees. So the sons of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. You need a savior? Yeah, Yahshua. And the sons of Israel made outcry unto Yahweh, and Yahweh raised up unto them a savior, a Yahshua, Ehu, son of Gera, a Benjamite. Now we're going to know the most famous savior, which is Christ, Yahushua, in Luke 2:11. Page 57 in the New Testament. And this is going to be the word based off of sozo. So whenever the word in the New Testament, saved is the word sozo.
Look what?
In the Greek.
How do you spell that? 2:11.
Will you look it up?
Oh.
But the word we're going to see here, the Savior here, is Christ the Savior. This is when he is born, the shepherds say. Let's just read it. 2:11. Oh, okay. You want to read 2:11, Isaiah, or Elijah?
That there hath been born unto you this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, in the city of David.
Right there. The word Savior there is the word soter. S-O-T-E-R, which is the root, comes from sozo. And sozo, in John 3:16, is sozo, which is to save. And the opposite of sozo is apolumai, which is to perish. And so if you look at sozo and apolumai together, they're probably used 20 times in the New Testament in the same sentence. So that's called antonyms, the opposites.
S-O-U-T-T, what was it again?
S-O-T-E-R. It's Strong's number 4990. It comes from sozo, which is Strong's number 4982. Now we go to Acts 13 on our Savior, Yahushua. Acts 13:22. Page 133. Got it? Okay, 22. You see where it is? And the heart's right in the middle of the sentence. And setting him aside, raised up David unto them for a king, of whom he had said, bearing a witness, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man according to my heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed hath Yahweh, according to promise, brought unto Israel a Savior, Yahushua. So as Ehud was a Savior, and Moses was a Savior, and it goes on and on and on, it's Yahsha. You know, it's taking people, you know, obviously where they, the people in Egypt were imprisoned, constrained. So remember, Yahsha is to white, I mean, let's see, to make wide, to make sufficient. So so think of a bowl constrictor around somebody. That's the opposite of Yahsha. All right, so I am hemmed in, so the opposite is distress, you see, which is narrow, which means to be restricted or cause distress. I kill the boa constrictor, and the person is Yahsha, saved. They're wide open. They can do whatever they want, and they're not hindered. When the Midianites came against Gideon, they are enslaved. In essence, restricted. They're taking their food, everything else. And by Gideon killing the Midianites, it Yahshaed them freedom. All right? So that's what Yahsha means. Salvation, and we have to see what is salvation coming from, and we're being saved from the second death. And that's Revelation 20, the end of the book, 20 verse 5. And we're not being saved from hell, as you've got to remember. We're being saved from perishing.
With what?
Now, Revelation 20, and that is page 265, verse 5 and 6. So this is the culmination of the end of the story. There's two places. There's the second death, or there's the new earth. You're either one or the other. And verse 5 and 6, 20, the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Happy and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Upon these, the second death hath no authority. They shall be priests of Yahweh and of the Christ, and shall reign with him for the 1,000 years. So, that is the opposite of life, age, and body, the second death, which is also the lake of fire, which is called the second death. That's the end of everything else. There are 10 ages. Can anybody? I broke up the word into 10 ages or periods of time. There's Adam and Eve. All right, there is the second age is Cain. Third age is Noah. The fourth age is Abram and Sarah. The fifth age is Moses. The sixth age is Yahushua. The seventh age is our present age, the age of the church, the Christian church, the Christ. The eighth age is the beast, Revelation, the book of Revelation. The ninth age is Christ's 1,000-year reign upon the earth, where he is king, the king. And then the tenth is what?
The new heaven and new earth, Zion.
Yeah, and who reigns in?
Yahweh.
You come down from heaven, and that's Revelation 21. And that's when Christ, who is in his 1,000-year reign, brings everything back to Yahweh, because death has been destroyed, and Yahweh is now in charge. Okay, there's salvation, and there's requirements in each of those ages to not perish, but have life, age, and body. When people talk today about salvation, they say it's not by works. No, you have to talk about what age are you talking about. I'm just reading a book, and it's really showing you getting an absolute foundation to give your children a reasonable, rational explanation of the word, because when they get older, they're going to be tested, and they have to prove what they know. And it's not mysticism, it's actual fact. Right, so we're in Revelation. And when people say it's not by works, all right, well, somebody's going to read Revelation right here. Let's just look right here. Revelation 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, the great, and the small standing before the throne, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their what?
Works.
So if you tell a child we're not saved by works, all right, nobody's saved by works, but by grace, then a person says, well, that's not true. It says right here, your works. Right? And now their foundation has just been shattered, and now they say, I can't trust my parents because they made me look like a fool. Well, you didn't know what age you were talking about. So you have to know what age you're talking about. So salvation, that's what we're basically talking about. In this particular age, we'll get into detail, but we have to realize, in Adam and Eve's age, how could they be saved? They weren't even saved. All they had to do was make one choice, which is what?
Tree of life.
Take the tree of life. They didn't. All right? That's the only work that they had to do. Take the tree of life. All right. Now we go into Cain. We're going to really find out Cain, Noah, Abram, and Sarah. There's no Mosaic law. Well, how are they saved? Revelation just said it. By works. The works. Christ wasn't around. All right. Christ wasn't there. They couldn't believe on Yahushua Mashiach for salvation. He didn't even exist. They didn't have a Mosaic law to go by. So they're judged according to their works, very simply. Now we get into Moses and Yahushua. We're going to see those ages, those periods of time also, they're judged by their works. So we go to Ezekiel 18. And obviously Ezekiel's writing after Moses. So after the Mosaic Law has been given. And why people are so shook up, even if it was by works, in our particular age, we're going to say our age is different from all the other ages, just do right. This is no brainer. Just do it, and when you don't do right, confess your sins. I mean, Yahweh's not looking for perfection. He's just looking for works of righteousness. Do right. Now, if you think you want to just be able to sin all the time and still get in, and I say, well, something's wrong with you. Right? So, Ezekiel 18, 5 through 9. And this will tell you. And so, when we say salvation, we must also say, who are we talking about? How they got saved. All right? What period of time? So Ezekiel 18, 5 through 9. But when any man shall be righteous and do justice and righteousness upon a mountain that hath not eaten, and his eyes hath not lifted up unto the manufactured gods of the house of Israel, and the wife of his neighbor hath not defiled, and unto a woman during her removal hath not approached, and no man hath treated with violence, but his debt pledge hath restored, plunder hath not seized, his bread to be famished hath given, and the naked hath covered with clothing, upon interest hath not put his money. Are these works? Absolutely. And increase hath not accepted. For dishonesty hath turned back his hand. This is great, though. I mean, beside the point, these are all grammatical inversions. Every beginning of each one of these verses is a grammatical inversion. So NIV and them are going to reverse all this. What's important. So what a beautiful structure. From dishonesty hath turned back his hand. Justice and truth has done between man and man. In my statutes hath walked. In my regulations hath observed to do them in truth. Righteous he is. He shall surely, what? Live. Declares my Lord Yahweh. Now, we go to Ezekiel 33. All works. Well, of course. There's nothing wrong with works. 33:14. Mosaic Law, still in Ezekiel. Now you're a lawless man.
8:24.
Yeah, very good. Lawless man, here's what's required of you. 14-16. And when I say to the lawless man, thou shalt surely die, because you're lawless. That's why it works. But he shall turn from his sin and do justice and righteousness. The debt pledge the lawless man shall restore. Plunder shall pay back. Restitution. Not just saying I'm sorry, but actually backing it up with money and everything else. In the statutes of life hath walked so as not to commit perversity. He shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins which he had committed shall be called to mind against him. This is the guy on the cross with Yahushua. This is the evildoer who said, remember me when you get to your kingdom. And he says, that's him. But because we see in Yahushua's time, it was also by works. So we go into Mark 11. He was still fulfilling the Mosaic Law. He had not died. He had not paid the price. So Mark 10, verse 17. We have to be very careful of not forming catechism and creeds to what we want to believe.
46.
And that's what people do. They come up with what they're comfortable with and want to believe. Those are called itching ears. We must see what the Word says, and if the Word says it, that's it. So in Yahushua's time, a person asked him, Mark 10, 17. And as he was going forth into a road, one running and kneeling before him was questioning him, good teacher, what shall I do that I go to heaven? They never ask that question. Do they? What do they always ask? What shall I do that life age abiding I may inherit? It was never go to heaven. So where do we get all this going to heaven? All right? How do I get to heaven? That's not the question. The question is, how do I receive life, age, and mighty? That's what he asked him. That I may inherit, and Yahushua said unto him, it's by grace. No, he says, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, Yahweh. The commandments thou knowest, do not commit murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor thy father and mother. That's how you receive what? Life, age of body, in Yahushua's time. It is by works. And we can see, you know, here's just a good example in John. And people say, okay, here's John, you know, for God so loved the world, everybody's in. John 15. We're going to go a lot of places. Get to learn books of Yahweh. Page 111. And since you memorize the books of the Word of Yahweh, that's somebody stepping on the cat.
She's mad.
Now, here's the same book where people say it's all grace in the book of John. Well, that's not the case. John 15, verse 1. I am the real vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what happens?
He taketh it away.
And every one that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, that more fruit may be bare. What happens to those ones he took away? Verse 6. If one abide not in me, what's going to happen to him?
Cast out.
He is cast out as the branch and withereth, and they gather them, and into what?
Fire.
They cast them, and they are what?
Burnt.
Well, that's in the Gospel of John. All right? Works. Even in the Gospel of John. The beast, we're going to see, well, how are they saved in the book of Revelation? Well, let's go to Revelation 2. Now, we're going to be gone. Christ is coming back for his body. We're going to be gone, and the book of Revelation begins. And that's chapter 2, verse 10. And we're going to see what the requirements are here. At page 253. And who would, Tim, you want to read 10 and 11?
Mm-hmm. Do not fear the things which thou art about to suffer. Lo, the adversary is about to cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and may have tribulation 10 days. Become thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the assemblies. He that overcometh shall in no wise be injured by reason of a second death.
What's the requirement? Grace? No. He has to overcome in that day, and then the second death will not affect him. Works. Very simply. So what about our age, the age of the Christ? And everybody knows that in this particular age that we're living in, salvation is not by works. And we're going to do a little study on that. Let's go to Ephesians 2:8, which most people have memorized. And we're kind of getting to the crux of our story. We'll go over time, 2:8, page 197. And we've all got this memorized. For by his favor have you been saved. And that would be sozo. Through means of faith, and this hath come to pass, not from you, of Yahweh the free gift, not from works, lest anyone should boast. Okay, so we say we're saved by grace and not by works. Well, how is this confirmed? Let's look at, you know, remember, in any doctrine statement, you must have multiple clear verses to establish it, and never a single verse. Let's see if we have any other verses that states the same thing. That's Titus 2 or 3, verse 5. Titus.
What was that one?
There you go, good one.
Titus what?
Titus 3, verse 5 through 7.
321.
Might go a little bit longer, but this is very important things, very important foundation. And we're finding out what this person said, she wrote this book in 1705 about how important mothers are to children and to teach them reason and rational truths from the Word of Yahweh. So when they start talking to their peers, when somebody puts them to the proof, they can actually stand the proof and give the evidence of why they believe what they believe, instead of just, well, my parents told me so. And it's not based on any rationale. And we got so many things that are irrational. And here's an example. Why believe in one God who eternally exists in three persons? Well, what is that? You know, I believe in a good God that kills people with cancer. Well, that's not rational at all. That's completely irrational. All right, but that's what people have. And so then it says what happens is when the young people get to that point and they get challenged, they get knocked off their, man-made foundation, and then they go into skepticism, to think that somebody's just hoodwinked them on these things. And then the lust, their passions and appetite at that particular time, probably from age 15 to 25, all right, are very high, their appetite of pleasure. They end up going into that and leaving the Word behind. Because they're skeptics because it didn't make sense. And so it all has to build upon a good foundation, and the Word of Yahweh does go by reason and rationale instead of being irrational. But so much of what the church teaches today is not reason. And it's not rational. Here's another one. That Christ died on Good Friday and got up on Sunday. And 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth? Well, that's not 3 days and three. That's not rational either. So why are we giving out all this irrational things that somebody can say, well, that's stupid. And you look at it and say, well, that's what I'm told. And so that's not reason. But when we can say, well, absolutely it was. He died on Wednesday before Passover. He got up on Saturday at sunset and got up on Saturday. That's 3 days and three nights. Okay, story sold. Just show it to him. That's a good foundation because it's built on the Word. Why the foundations of man, they'll be knocked off. Okay, 3:5-7. Not by works which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy he sozoed us through means of the bathing of his birth and the molding anew of holy ruach. Okay, so we see also not by works. Okay, now we have a problem with that. And so this is the crux of what we're getting to. Can I go to somebody who has never known anything about Yahushua or the Word of Yahweh and convert him in one night and he's now saved? Most people say, yes, you can. Let's just really look at this. All right, this is very important. And we'll go to James, Hebrew James. This is a great illustration because we've got to reconcile faith and works. Page 236. Hey, would you go give me a glass of water? Thank you. Now this, we're going to read from 14 to 26. This has to reconcile and make us understand, well, maybe this is, looks like it's contradicting Ephesians 2:8 and Titus 3:5, but it's not. They have to be meshed together. And I think with us, we always want a really simple solution, one verse situation to give our doctrines, and we got to tie this together. What profit, my brethren, if one should be saying he hath faith, but hath not works? All right. Now we're going to tie works right into faith. Thank you. Can his faith sozo him? Wait a minute, I thought that's what it just said. If a brother or sister should be naked and coming short of their daily food, and one from among you should say unto them, withdraw in peace, be getting warmed and fed, but should not give them the things needful for the body, what the profit? So also faith, if it hath not works, is what? Dead. By itself. Well, this seems like a contradiction of what we just read in Ephesians 2:8, but it's not. But one will say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I unto thee will show by my works my faith. Thou believest that Yahweh is one. Thou doest well. Even the demons believe and shudder. But art thou willing to learn, O empty man, that faith apart from works is what? Idle. Abraham, our father, was it not by works he was declared righteous when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Now seeing that his faith had been working together with his works, and by his works did his faith become full grown, and the scriptures were fulfilled which saith, and Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was restored to him as righteousness. This is the most important thing. And Yahweh's friend was he called? Well, we'll finish reading, I'll come back to that. You see what? That by works a man is declared righteous and not by faith alone. And in like manner also, Rahab the harlot, was it not by works she was declared righteous when she gave welcome unto the messengers and by another way urged them forth? Just as the body apart from Ruach is dead, so our faith also apart from works is dead. All right. So very simply, when Yahweh said to Abram, go sacrifice Isaac, and if he says, I will Yahweh, and never went to the mountain, would he be declared righteous? No. It was just verbal consent. All right, this is verbal consent. So verbal consent doesn't mean anything. By sacrificing Isaac, did he earn his way into the kingdom? No. All right? So we have to understand the works that we're looking at, you cannot save yourself because of your unsinful life. You know, Christ could, but only Christ. But we have to say that you, all right, cannot say you're a believer, all right, unless you works follow that. Very simply. So we saw if Abram would never gone up to the mountain and pulled out his knife and he was going to stab him, if he would just pulled it out like this and went like this and just hold it, held it, would he be righteous? No. All right? He was righteous because what he heard he did. All right? It has to be the action. The action. All right? It wasn't that particular action, is that you believed and acted on what you were told to do. So, that's the important thing, is when we get into Romans 10, 9 and 10, let's just go there. By saying a verse does not give you salvation. By saying it with your mouth, Romans 10, 9, and that's page 159 and 10, we all know this. 159. Are you there? Page 159. Romans chapter 10, verse 59. Well, I'll go ahead and go. That if thou shalt confess the declaration with thy mouth that Yahushua is Lord. That is really crucial, because the second part, the adversary believes. And shalt believe with thy heart that Yahweh awoke him from among the dead. Does the adversary believe that? Do all demons believe that? Do all bad messengers believe that? Well, absolutely. The first part, they don't. The first part, they will not make him their Lord. He is not my Lord. All right? Thou shalt be sozo, saved. They all do the second part, but they don't do the first part. Now, lordship is so important. How do, you know, think of salvation, I mean, think of, you know, making Yahushua your Lord is like getting married. If you're entering into a covenant. And what is that covenant of lordship? In Luke 6:46, we won't go there. It says, "You say, Lord, Lord, but do not what I say." You can't call him Lord if you're not going to do what he says. Period. So you can be at the altar and say, "Jesus is my Lord," and then if not one bit of your life has changed, he's not your Lord. I don't care what you said. He's not your Lord. And if you do not know what's required of you, you can't enter into that covenant relationship, like marriage. So if I'm marrying somebody, I must realize, what are my obligations? And here's your obligations. Oh, do I want to do that? Really? And if you do, then I'm committing myself, and by doing those things, then I am, you know, fulfilling my covenant. And so Mary, are going into Christ, making him your Lord, is being a covenant. And a great example is 2 Corinthians 5. And this is what we should say to everybody, is when you're telling someone about Yahushua, and then you can, if you make him your Lord and believe in your heart that Yahweh awoke him from among the dead, you shall be sozo, or receive life, age abiding. We're going to go with it. And they say, but I say, here's what's required for you, is to do what he says.
184.
That's what we're doing. All right? And that's the 2 Corinthians. Well, wait a minute. I want to say this, but I don't want to change my life. Then you never made him your Lord. 14, 2 Corinthians 5, 14. And this should come with everybody on offering him salvation. For the love of the Christ constraineth us, having judged this, that one in behalf of all died. Hence they all died. That's the beginning of the covenant. Yahushua laid his part out. And not by faith alone, but by works. Because he actually died. Didn't say, I will die, he died. He laid that out before us. And so here's what I did for you. Here's what I'm asking from you. Or not asking, I'm demanding it. And in behalf of all died he, in order that they who live no longer for themselves should live, but for him who in their behalf died and awoke. So when you're bringing salvation, you say, are you willing to do what Christ says? Well, yes. Have you ever read the Bible? No. Well, you don't even know what he says. You can't make that covenant until you say, oh, here's what it says. And we know the first crucial things would be the Ten Commandments. At least nine. You don't murder. You don't steal. You don't fornicate. You honor your father and your mother. All right, and on and on. If you're violating those, and you keep violating them after you talked and said you became a Christian, there's no proof of any. There's no work behind your relationship to say you ever made him Lord. So basically, I could say you're not, that covenant is not established. No matter what you say, you verbally assent to it, but it's not binding because you never made him your Lord. Well, yes, I did. What did you do? If I was shacking up with someone fornicating, if I broke off that relationship and said, no doubt, good sign. Good sign. Did breaking up the relationship save you? No. But it's showing you that he's your Lord. Right? So we must all read the covenant before we can enter into it. And it's just not quoting Romans 10:9. In this particular age, we can get a sozo saved, and we're called sons of Elohim. So life age abiding, I'm right on time, good. So life age abiding is what we're looking at. And that's, and we know perishing, which is apolumai. A few more things, and we'll close it down. Born again, the phrase born again. How many times did Paul say it in his epistles?
Zero.
There are. How many times was it said in the book of Acts?
Zero.
All right? We got to realize that. A letter of vocabulary reflect that. Saved and sozo was used all the time. How many times, with people in here, how many times was hell used? And then you have to say, what Hebrew word are you saying? So it's not life, age, abiding in heaven or hell. It is perishing or life, age, abiding. And when somebody says hell, you say, what Hebrew word are you saying? And there is no Hebrew word for hell. And so it's a man-made doctrine. Because all he can do is say Sheol, and Sheol is not a place where people live and are tormented, as you, what you call hell. Let's see here. One other thing about works, about Yahushua, is Mark 25, and we'll stop. Or Matthew 25, sorry. So we got to get it right. Does Yahushua, I just talked to a girl on that. Does Yahushua kill people? Yeah.
Justice.
Yeah. He's going to open the scrolls. He's the only one that opens up the scroll. Half, or probably two-thirds of the whole earth is going to die because he opens those scrolls. And in Revelations 19, he kills everybody. The army that's coming against him. All right? He's righteous. He's reflecting Yahweh. In Revelations 20, when the armies come against the city of New Jerusalem, fire from heaven comes and kills everybody. All right, death is righteous and just. You know, Yahushua kills. All right, and they deserve to be killed. All right, you gave them the offer, they declined the offer, and you deserve to die. But works, and here's Matthew 25:31. But whensoever the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his messengers with him, then will he sit on his throne of glory. Okay, explain the last time. But let's go into 41. Then he will say unto those also on his left hand, this is the goats and the sheep, depart from me, accursed ones, into the age abiding fire which hath been prepared for the adversary and his messengers. That's called the second death. For I hungered, and ye gave me not to eat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me not to drink. Are these works? Yeah, they're deeds. A stranger was I, and ye took me not home. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then will they also answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and ministering not unto thee? Then will I answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of these least, neither unto me did you. And so that's the people on the left. And these shall go away into life of aging correction, but the righteous into age abiding life. And we're going to see the righteous fed everybody in that same chapter. They fed and hungered. All works. Nothing wrong with works. I don't know why people get so upset with works. And losing salvation, and in this particular age, I'm going to make out one other thing. All right? You say losing salvation. Well, you have life age abiding. I'm thinking, could a person, when they're young, want life age abiding? And then at the end of their life, say, I don't want to live on a new earth with Christ. I want fornication. I'd rather die than live on a new earth with Christ. I can see very simply those wishes could be granted. What? Otherwise, you would be imprisoning somebody to live on the new earth, and who doesn't want to live there? So they didn't lose it. They forfeited. They don't want to be there. So that makes sense to me. Because I've known particular people who have left the faith and gone really dark. And I'm just wondering, it could be the point that they don't want anything to do with Christ. Now or ever. All right, even though, and that's right. That'd be fine. That's your choice. You're just going to die. The difference is you're not going into a place of eternal torment. Okay. Thanks. Now, that's not biblical, but that's my concept. Oh, one other thing. This is very important. How many people who have lived and died after Christ died know nothing of the Bible, the Word of Yahweh? They never heard of Christ. Billions. Well, what about those people? What's going to judge them? And obviously it's going to have to be by what?
Works.
Works of righteousness. Very simply. And we see that all the way through here. They, you know, you got people in New Guinea and Africa, and people who lived and died have no idea what they... But their lives will dictate whether they honor the Creator by loving their neighbor as themselves or not. And so people don't even address those people. So that has to be in there too, and that's fine. If they're righteous individuals, then they submitted their lust for serving Yahweh. And it could be I don't want to upset the Creator. And so we choose either to obey the Creator and submit to Him, or to please ourselves and say, heck with the Creator. Alright. Other good points to cover. One other point. I keep saying that, don't I? What about children who die before they're of age? So my hypothesis, and this is only a hypothesis, would be a great place for them to grow up and make that choice would be where?
1,000-year millennium.
1,000-year millennium. When Christ is king. So now they're going to be, I'm going to speculate, because they can't go to heaven like people would say. They never deserved it. They didn't do anything. Or they never chose And with all of life, it's choosing life or death, life or death. The tree of forbidden fruit or the tree of life. You've got to choose. So we would say, I think a perfect spot for them would be right there in the thousand-year reign. They're under Christ. All right? And if they rebel against Christ, you perish. And if you accept Christ, you're there. Because there's a lot of people who have died and never had a chance. All right? They're not in limbo or some other place. Right? In my opinion, that's my opinion, that they will get a, that will be the perfect place for them. All right. Now we'll go ahead and end, and then we'll have a prophecy for the viewers. Well, Father, we thank you for this day, for the people viewing and for the people in the future to view. We thank you for these words, and we thank you, Christ, for pouring out us Ruach in order that we could prophesy and let people hear from our Father. So here's words of prophecy to the viewers. My sons and my daughter, do not be discouraged, but with anticipation, come down to me on bended knees, knowing that I hear your supplications, that I have, my ears are open to the righteous. So put on those righteous works where your heart doesn't condemn you. Do righteousness, and you are a valuable asset unto me, in order that I may uplift you. By humbling yourselves, I can uplift you and set you on high. Do not be discouraged, but walk forth, speaking forth my word with glad tidings, evermore rejoicing, because I live inside you. I am a part of you. I communicate with you as you listen. So do not be discouraged, but thank me for each day that you live, and you shall have the best life possible that I can give to you. Amen. Well, thank